episode of the CDC Tech Life podcast from our studio inside the Charleston Digital Corridor's flagship incubator on Morrison Drive. Over the past couple of decades, the art and science of digital marketing has evolved, and it's become a foundational piece to the success of any business, particularly technology businesses. In this episode, we talk to the founder of a local Charleston digital marketing agency who's using the experience she gained working for a large technology provider to help small businesses get the most out of their digital marketing efforts. This episode is brought to you by the City of Charleston. The City of Charleston is pleased to support the Charleston Digital Corridor with its mission to foster innovation and entrepreneurship. Our guest on this episode of the CDC Tech Life podcast is Lane Colley. Lane is the founder of WebLab. Well, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
It's great to have you here in the studio. Lane, can you start by giving us a little bit of an overview of WebLab, what's your mission, what services you provide, the types of customers you serve, and the team that you got working with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So WebLab is a tech web agency. So we service mostly B2B software and tech companies. We're focused on optimizing performance for companies. So optimizing the traffic, optimizing conversions, as well as working on large scale projects like product launches, acquisitions and rebrands. And our mission is to ensure that we're making an impact for the businesses. And it's really important to us to, you know, look at each individual business and kind of scope out like who's their customer, you know, where there's opportunities and, you know, how we can actually make an impact.
Tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to a career in digital marketing.
Sure. So I've been in tech now for 15 years, and I started working in web about 8 years ago. Got to work with some, you know, really great people, Silicon Valley veterans who've been in the space for decades. And I really fell in love with web, particularly because I felt like, you know, it's ever evolving. It's very exciting. There's lots of changes. There's so much you can do, you know, especially being able to optimize and really impact performance and drive so much growth for the company through that channel.
How did you land in Charleston?
I just, you know, I love it here. I visited a few times and just fell in love with it. You know, I was living in Philadelphia and just really wanted a change of pace and, you know, lifestyle. So luckily the company I was working for at the time, this is pre-pandemic, they let me go remote. So, you know, I came down, I was like, I'll give it a try for a year or two. And I've been here ever since. It's been 5 years now. Also the tech space, you know, I knew that was sort of starting here. Yep. So that was very comforting to me. You know, I'm not sure I would have came down here otherwise because I'd be a little bit worried, but I saw that it was growing and, you know, I felt like, you know, this is something that I could be a part of.
Yeah, similar to my story, except 2 decades removed and a lot less going on here at the time, but I'm from the Northeast as well.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Needed a change and had visited here a couple of times and loved it and just sort of took a chance and really glad how it turned out.
Yeah, been here ever since, right?
Yep.
Most people don't leave once they're here.
And that's a common refrain. Well, talk about the experiences that led you sort of go out on your own and start WebLab.
I'd been working for, you know, larger and then more of like a smaller software company. And it's always been really exciting for me to, you know, go in and kind of see where I can improve performance and help the company grow. But I kind of got into a place where I'm like, this isn't that challenging for me anymore. And I also want the opportunity to help other software companies, you know, not just one particular company generate more revenue. You know, it's like, I want to be able to help a bunch of other companies. And in addition, you know, I love learning about different products and customers and things like that. So it's just more exciting for me. And
yeah, you talked earlier about the attraction of tech being that it's ever evolving. I think you know, starting your own company and serving multiple customers, like you said, adds a whole other level to that, right?
Because
you've really got to be on top of your game and staying ahead of the tech so that you can best help them. But you're also getting variation, every company having unique challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. My personality type, it's, you know, I thrive on change and challenge. So for me, if I get hired by a software company, at first it's like, oh, this is great. I can do this. I could do that. But then, you know, after a while, I'm kind of like, I need a new challenge. So I think the best way is to be working with multiple companies at once.
Yeah. What are some of the milestones or achievements you're sort of most proud of, either with WebLab or even your experience in the field previously?
I hate to tie it back to like revenue, but when I was working at Click, over the course of time, we just rapidly grew. We scaled, we acquired like 7 other companies. So I managed a lot of large scale rebrands, product launches, acquisitions, as well as optimizing the overall performance through testing, personalization, and you know, all these other strategies. But one of the largest things I worked on from a campaign level was something called Gartner MQ, which is a analyst report that goes out, and this is for a data analytics company. So I ran that initiative, and over the course of 6 years, I grew it from $50 million in revenue to about $300 million in revenue. And that was through just expanding out more and more through the campaign itself on the site, as well as organic SEO and other tactics.
So now that you're, you know, on your own and working with companies, what are some of the aspects of digital marketing that you sort of find that your typical small business owner might not sort of be aware of the importance of, or might not know how to take advantage of?
Yeah, I would say web in general. In marketing, you know, web is probably the most impactful. And there's usually about a minimum of 5 times the ROI through web. And I think it's also just, it's such a strong partner to sales that is overlooked. A lot of times there's just a heavy focus on sales alone, but there's a lot of components that help drive those sales, especially for customers that are at any point in the funnel. When you look at attribution, most people are looking at the site and they're looking at your competitor site. So when you have those potential customers at the evaluation stage towards the bottom of the funnel, they're looking at you, they're looking at their competitor. And if you're not optimizing the full journey, you know, there could be some opportunity cost there, which could cost you.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks hear marketing and they think more the brand marketing side,
the brand,
as opposed to demand gen, all of these pieces that are just sort of like that super important piece of the iceberg below the surface.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, they all contribute to one another and they're all part of it. You know, even if for like paid marketing, I'll see a lot of people put a lot of money in paid, but then they do nothing with the site. So then they get to the site and then it doesn't align and it's not part of the journey. And then it kind of, you see drop off, you know, and the conversions aren't as high as they could be. So there's that. And then the other component is we're now moving into more of a data restricted world. You know, they just, the government even more recently just passed all these laws for, I think there's like 5 more states. California was the first, where they're really starting to tighten the data laws like they are in Europe for GDPR. So I think we're moving in that a direction where it's going to start to be really difficult to do paid advertising, and it's all going to shift towards organic. And organic is web, and that's, it's SEO, and it's just the web user journey. So I think that starting to put efforts into that now to kind of prepare for that would be a smart move. It's also really hard as you scale a company for web, and I've seen it. I've worked at a startup before where if it's an afterthought and you try to focus on it later, it's much more difficult than if you do it in the beginning, because a lot of things take a while to build out, and SEO presence is one. So is like the overall like CMS and how everything's built and how everything flows. So it's important.
Yeah, Europe and GDPR were sort of like a canary in the coal mine. You know, we knew it was going to, you know, eventually similar regulations were going to happen here. And I think companies are seeing, right, it's not just about a one way, you know, getting your message out. It's about trying to create that conversation. And of course, the web is uniquely suited for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are some of the common mistakes you see in how small businesses approach digital marketing?
I see a common theme. I mean, not everyone is very data driven, so not everyone's looking at the data. So I think there's a lot of missed opportunity when decisions are being made and people aren't being like, well, why are we doing this? Yeah. What does the data say? So there's that. And then also just not fully evaluating the landscape of everything. Mm-hmm. So kind of looking at what we were talking about earlier, like all the different pieces and how they kind of come together, I would say are two common themes. Yeah. And then going back to like the paid piece or other marketing efforts, I'll see that they'll put all this time and energy and money into paid. Yep. And paid is actually more costly and you actually don't see as much of an ROI, but people will tend to put more effort into that and then they'll bring them back to the web and then that's not fully optimized. So then it's not, it's just not converting and it's not like a fully running engine like it should be for sales.
Now talk to me about how, when you typically first engage a new customer, where do you start with them? Like what's that sort of first conversation you have that sort of helps you understand how to best help them?
So I like to understand where from their perspective, they think that they need help with and mm-hmm. what they want to solve for. Then I want to take a look at all of, you know, their data, their performance. Mm-hmm. And then from there, kind of dive into the full landscape. So understanding their company, the product, their customer, as well as the persona, like who's your customer, mm-hmm. in addition to like, what are we solving for them? Mm-hmm. And then from there, I can kind of, after that discovery period, kind of see where there's opportunity. Mm-hmm. Taking a look at the tech stack as well is also important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just having talks of, okay, like, what are we trying to solve for? And, you know, do we think that this is the best route to get there and to make those objectives?
Yeah, you mentioned data a couple of times. I think, again, with marketing, a lot of folks tend to think of it as a creative exercise. And there is obviously a big creative element to it, but there's a big sort of data-driven, analytic, scientific yeah. approach to it that I think folks don't fully appreciate until they sort of get in the weeds of it.
Yeah, and especially like in marketing, I think sometimes there's a disconnect. Marketing tends to be more on like the creative side, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, versus it, which it should be. But there's also a very big data and sales component. You know, what are we getting out of this? Like, what's the conversion? So I think that's really important to be focused on. And, you know, working at a data analytics company like I did for mm-hmm. so long, I am very much data driven. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, what does the data say? Like, and I try to see after, you know, pulling this lever or that lever, like what kind of lift did we just see? Like, how did it perform? What difference did it make? So I think that's something that's critical to look at.
Now, you got a class coming up here with the CDC University here at the Charleston Tech Center. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that is on February 15th, and we're going to be focusing on some of the top strategies for web. So that would be SEO, conversion rate optimization, and then looking at the customer journey in web.
Now, how long has WebLab been a resident here at the Charleston Tech Center? And what's your experience been like being part of this community here within the building?
Yeah, so it's been a couple months. It's been great. I think that, you know, it's such a great community. And, you know, Ernest is really great at being such an advocate for all the businesses here. You know, I like that everything's growing and I think it's going to continue to grow. So I'm excited to see how things evolve.
Elaine Cawley, founder of WebLab, look out for her CDCU class coming up on the 15th of February. Where can listeners go to learn more about WebLab in general?
Sure. So you can go to web-lab.agency to learn more.
Great. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We hope you can make it here to the Charleston Tech Center for Lane's CDC University class on Accelerating Growth Through the Web on February 15th at 9 a.m. Visit charlestondigitalcorridor.com/events to learn more and register. Look for our next episode to drop at the end of the month, when we talk to a researcher who is working here in Charleston to help veterans and others suffering from Alzheimer's. This episode is brought to you by the City of Charleston. The City of Charleston is pleased to support the Charleston Digital Corridor with its mission to foster innovation and entrepreneurship. As always, thanks to Ernest and the team at the Charleston Digital Corridor for their support and partnership in bringing you the show. Look for the CDC Tech Live podcast wherever you find your favorite podcast. And while you're there, subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, follow the Charleston Digital Corridor to stay up to date on all of the happenings here in Charleston. I'm Rich Conti, and this has been the Charleston Digital Corridor Tech Live podcast.